This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey everyone, it's Dario Kristen with AfterBuzz TV. Did you know that TrueCar.com is changing car buying experiences forever? Yes, everyday TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Although, some features are not available in all states. But it's okay. In the first 3 months of this year, over 126,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. TrueCar users save an average of $3,078 off of MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these easy steps. It's just three of them. First, you go to TrueCar.com and find out what other people paid for the car you're looking for. Then register at TrueCar.com to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. The third step is so simple. Just print out your true savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience overall. Remember, everyday TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save time, save your money, and never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Masters of Sex After Show.
We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip.
And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Masters of Sex After Show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Season 2, Episode 1, Parallax. Tonight, I have my host, a few from last season. We've got lovely Spicy Mari.
Hi, guys. I am tweeting out right now, not to be rude. I am tweeting out for everybody to tune in here on AfterBuzz TV.
And I've got Roya.
Hi, guys. I'm back. Well, we're all back.
We're all back. And we've got a new male perspective, Bobby Demure.
What's going on, guys? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. We need a good male perspective, so we're excited to have you on the panel.
No pressure, right?
No pressure at all. On your perspective the most. We were so anxious to get back to season 2 with the first episode because we were totally left with a cliffhanger of, you know, Dr. Masters coming to Virginia and, you know, getting rained on at her door, and we were left. We had no idea what he was going to say, and so I was hoping it would pick right back up there, but it kind of got diced up. But for a little kind of perspective on the episode, they called it parallax, and Bobby defined and understands what parallax means, so he's going to let our viewers know, too.
it's an astronomical term. It's basically, for our purposes, though, two different people. So let's say Roya and I, we're sitting next to each other, but we have a different vantage point, and we are both looking at the same point. So Jenna, we're both looking at you.
Me.
However, even though you are the same to both of us, the background is different, so the context of where you are is different, so we see you in a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And she sees you in a different way than I do because we're at different places. And I think, we were talking about this before, but I think it parallels to the show.
Yeah, for sure. I know it makes sense somehow. I'm just contextually.
We're still trying to connect the dots.
Yeah, I think
you could probably look at it a lot of ways, but I think the biggest relationship, one, is Virginia and Bill. Mm-hmm. And
yes.
The idea that they're looking at the study the same way. We want to continue the study, whatever. But their perspective on it and the background behind it is very different now. And we've learned in this episode today it's a little more complicated than just doing a study.
Yes. So this was like a jam-packed episode, so much. So we're going to try to just go through the episode at just as is instead of kind of breaking it up. So the first thing that we kind of step into is seeing Dr. Masters in a room watching TV, but kind of flashbacking to the door, right? So right when he gets in there. And we see immediately that we don't understand the dialogue. We don't see anything in the dialogue, but we do see them go right into sex, which I have to say is like the most authentic sex I have seen yet. Go Masters of Sex. Like it was awesome. And we see that, but we hear the baby crying and we know Libby is attending to the baby. So we obviously can kind of tell like they're not together, Dr. Masters and Virginia, but they had this moment. What happened? And then it leaves us there. And then we kind of go into where Virginia's at, and she's getting propositioned by doctors, and she has absolutely no respect.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Back at the school, and so she's kind of struggling with that. She's not really making ends meet, and she's trying to think about how to, you know, make money doing other things and start selling diet pills. Okay, so we're
thanks
just
to Austin, yeah, for mentioning that to him.
Yeah, and then on top of that, we have Barton going into therapy, right? And Dr. Masters taking him, which is huge because we at the end of last season, we have Margaret saying, please don't do this. It's going to take away from your memory. I want you just the way you are. Whims if you don't remember that you always let me win at tennis. You know, all mm-hmm. these great memories. And I thought that scene with him, like, getting the electric
shock therapy,
it was hard. That was hard mm-hmm. for me to watch, you know, just, you know, because I thought they kind of went under and then did it. But I guess I didn't think he was going to feel it and convulse like he did.
Well, it's almost like he went through a homosexual rehab. And, you know, that kind of therapy, it seems like it doesn't really even exist, does it? I mean, that was like,
oh, it no, did. Well, it did. Yeah. It did in that time.
But there was no scientific evidence that proved that it was real therapy.
Exactly. And I think that's the weird thing about this scene is Masters, we saw in season one, was also told Barton, like, don't do that.
Don't
that's
do
ridiculous.
It. Right.
I know real science. Even though nobody respects my sex study, don't do quasi-science. And so it's interesting to have Barton trust Masters enough because of their work history. Mm-hmm. Even in all that's gone on, he's like, Margaret can't know about this. Please be here for me. Mm-hmm. And Masters being a good friend in this case and says,
such a good friend. Yeah. There's so much loyalty. There's so many good things about Dr. Masters that I love.
Well, when you work together for 20 years,
yeah.
you know, you yeah. built something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we go even, so then we get more flashbacks. Okay. So then, like, right shortly after that, we get into the phone call, right? We've got Dr. Masters and Virginia in bed together and her phone's like incessantly ringing. And it's the conversation with Ethan. And like, not even, they didn't even have a conversation that we were previewed to, but she automatically told him, hey, things have changed. The answer is no. I mean, it didn't take her 2 seconds to get right to that.
Well, you know? And things hadn't changed just because Dr. Masters was now in her bed. I think that she never wanted to marry him. I don't even think that was an option. She's not in love with Ethan. But I appreciate that they gave us little sound bites of the conversation.
I know.
And left it up to our imagination. Mm-hmm. And then later on filled in the blanks. Yeah, yeah. Between her perspective of what was going on the other end.
Yeah, right. We took what we know about Ethan and how he would react to the rejection by Virginia. And we put it in our own head about what they were saying.
Right.
What we're talking about.
And
back to the spicy, what you're saying about how you don't think it's Masters in general about them having sex mm-hmm. that's making her change her mind. I think it was the fact that she got her name on his study.
Right. Oh, exactly.
And that's
she's
what really
in love with the work.
Exactly.
At the
yeah.
end of the day, I think that she is fond of Dr. Masters once again and what he has done for her career and the self-worth that she now has because of it. And her self-esteem is like through the roof. But at the end of the day, I don't think that she's necessarily in love with him, the person.
No.
I think that she's in love with what he's done for her career.
I feel like they're very similar and they understand each other. Mm-hmm. And that's why it works for them.
Right. Yeah.
Do it.
Well, and then it cuts off again, right? So then we've got a blurb where it's like, okay, we know she says no. And then it cuts right to Libby being in the hospital after Dr. Masters has been fired, okay, getting a checkup and then telling off the current doctor, and then her going to visit Virginia with the baby.
We got a time frame, though, didn't we? Because he said 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah,
right,
it was a
right?
check. So that's
yeah.
a time frame since they met at the doorstep,
right.
Virginia and Masters.
Right.
So it's kind of a nice little plug-in for them to tell us, okay, so this is the time frame of how much has gone by.
Right.
Now let's see what's happened.
And at that point, I hadn't thought they had seen each other since the door, you know, because I was like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Still trying to figure out what's happening. And then we see Libby, you know, then it cuts to Dr. Masters being at home, spending all this time at home, trying to figure out what his next step is. And then Libby trying to leave him with a baby for an afternoon so she can go out and try to get him a job.
Yeah, she's trying to politic for him to get back into work. I don't know if it's because she doesn't like him at the house or she just knows that he feels incomplete.
I think it's because she knows that he cannot stay home. Like, he needs to. There are just some men. Some people, some men, women that just do not function better at home. Like, they will be.
He needs to be immersed in his work.
Yeah.
And I think it's a little throwback to kind of this area time period of when this piece is shot, in the sense that his domain is work and her domain is home. As wrong as we see that now, knowing that it doesn't have to be that cut and dry.
Right.
But in that era, this is Libby almost saying, your domain is work. Now that you are out of work, it is my job to help you back into work, and I will take care of home, and you take care of work, and if I'm the one who has to network to get you back into work,
right.
I'll do that.
You're
right.
going
yeah.
back to work.
Your place is work.
And
yeah.
I think what we're seeing is a huge, like, parental gap, and I'm thinking she thinks that if he just goes back to work, and if he just gets back into the grind, he will respond to fatherhood, because he's not responding at all. And I was thinking, okay, maybe he's not responding because he sees that baby as a barrier between him and Virginia. Like, I don't know. You know, it just sounds like he's maybe resentful of the baby because that's what's keeping him apart.
I still haven't put my finger on it of
but
why
no
he doesn't have the
nothing.
Parental connection.
Like,
there
nothing.
Is he has nothing for that child. We haven't even seen him really touch the child.
No, we see him drinking a lot. Now we see Dr. Masters, you know, taking on more alcohol.
The one thing I don't know if this is a hard and fast conclusion on it, but remember when he gets in the fight with his mother near the end, and she says stuff to him, and he says, I'm having sex with Virginia regularly with no plans to stop. He also says, I am now my father, and now my son knows it too. So he's got his own daddy issues. Bill does.
Oh, yeah.
He's got daddy and mommy issues.
Well, and I think he brought that in and just assumed, I'm going to be like my father. We're going to have the same problems. I'm going to have the same upbringing, whatever it is. And so why even give the kid a chance, or why even have a parental instinct, or why even pursue it? Because I already know how this turns out.
Now, what do you think was the final factor that made him realize, hey, I'm just like my father? Was it the son coming into the picture, or was it the fact that, you know, he had
I
an
think
affair?
It's affair.
I don't know if it was the affair. Maybe that was part of it, but I think it maybe
he never wanted kids.
It's
he
not, well, that's
said that up front.
I think it's that. I think it's the idea. It's not such a hard and fast the affair did it, but it's like, now that everything's come together, and now I have a kid, in my head broadly, I knew I might be like this. Now that I have a kid, yep, definitely going to happen. And it just kind of comes together. And the affair doesn't help.
Right.
That's part of it. But I think it's just the act of the child itself.
But
I think
he doesn't even just have daddy issues. He has mommy issues, too.
Yeah.
Because at some point, it was faintly revealed to us that his mother didn't defend him or something in his parent abuse with his
father.
She
looked the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he still has resentment towards her for that. That's why he's so cold and lashes out towards her as well.
Yeah.
And he's sending her butt back to Ohio.
Yeah.
I would be the same way. If my mom knew I was getting abused and just turned the other way, I would have resentment towards her.
At what point do you forgive and accept your parent who is trying to be good to you back into your life? Do you hold that resentment forever? Because it's killing him.
Well, she hasn't admitted that it was wrong. That's a thing. Did she admit? I can't recall if she admitted that in the last season. I feel like she was like, well, I couldn't have stopped him. She was making excuses up versus saying.
I think she full on said, I'm sorry. Yeah.
And he's still punishing her for that.
I feel like there's probably some things where you draw a line in the sand and say, if this happens, I cannot forgive you. And maybe this is one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And which is weird to me, though, because if he can't forgive her and he can't move on, get her out of his life, which he's doing now if she actually goes back to Ohio. But if she's there anyways, if you can't move on, remove her from the situation.
Do you think he's removing her because of his relationship with her, or do you think he's removing her because he admitted to her that he's having an affair and now she's liable?
I don't think he cares.
Risky.
I think that I think he's projecting, you know, just from what and I don't want to get to the end, but just from what we saw at the end, I think he's projecting and, like, lashing out.
That's true. He does do that.
I think he's just lashing out. Like, he's got all these confused, like, mixed, you know, feelings.
Emotions.
And rejection, you know? Like, I think that he's just lashing out and pushing his mom away. Like, you know, don't even try to love me because it doesn't work. Nobody loves me. You know, like, I'm not going to go with this.
Well, his mom being in his face and being at home is a constant reminder of his troubled childhood. So when you constantly see that person every day who you haven't forgiven and you're still struggling and battling with that pain, it's like a dagger in your heart every single day when you see her face.
And to see her loving a child that should have been you instead.
Right. Yeah. That's even killer. Like, it's, you know, it's almost like a parent that remarries and loves, you know, the new family more. It's a constant reminder.
Right.
And by the way, the baby's name is Johnny. Little Johnny.
Little Johnny.
Yeah. Johnny.
Okay. Aww.
I was waiting for the name to pop up. I was like, have they mentioned it? And Johnny. I was like, oh, Johnny. Johnny.
Johnny.
Got it down, Johnny. Johnny, your life's going to be difficult.
Okay, so then we see him. Then it cuts to a very awkward display with Barton and Margaret. You know, with Barton looking at pornography before he goes and approaches Margaret.
Oh, that
goes
was so sad.
Into her room and tries to put on the moves to her. But I mean, it felt so forced and not genuine. And then he tries to flip her over, which I think was such an amazing way to kind of let the viewers know, like, he's trying to make this, like, I mean,
pretend.
I mean, I felt that, like, when we were watching it, like, the uncomfortable, and we all knew what he was doing, and she was just like, and she's got an amazing bod. Like,
is she, like, 65?
I don't know how old she is, but that body is amazing. You saw it last season, I was like, damn, like, nice.
She looks great.
Good work. Yeah, she was like, look at me, and then you see him, like, get frustrated and angry, and then it totally turns into, like, this, damn it, help me, you know? And it's like, okay, you've taken any sort of romance out of this, and it's not, you know.
Well, she killed the romance.
Right, but do you think that was a side effect, though, from the electroshock
therapy?
Because remember, like, Masters made that comment.
Yeah.
I think it was also, you talk about lashing out and how Masters lashed out.
Yeah.
This is obviously Barton lashing out in the same way, and it's not her fault, but he now
It's his struggle.
He has to make it her fault because it's so shameful in his mind that he's got to put it on somebody else.
Well, he just experienced rejection with his wife as well, someone who is supposed to be loving him and coddling him during this time. She turns, you know, and shuns him as well, like the rest of the world, if they found out he was homosexual.
They need to do, like, baby steps, like, just sleeping clothes together.
But at the same time,
which I thought they were going
to
do that.
He really expects her to be vulnerable with him. He really expects her to be intimate after he's been having sex with little boys.
Yeah.
So for him to...
Not little boys. Let's fix that real quick. That sounds very inappropriate.
The guy had to be, like, 19.
Younger
man.
Age.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't really know, but we're hoping that he was over 18. But it looked like he was, like, 19, 20. And so for him to expect his wife to, you know, have sex with him after he'd been sleeping around with these guys, that's kind of a little crazy itself.
Not to mention, they haven't been intimate themselves.
In years.
Like, since Vivian, like, was born, you know, it was like once a year before she was born, and then, or maybe once a year after.
But she,
like,
was down for it at first when he got in the bed. She was kind of excited.
Was okay.
She was like, wait, we're about to get it on.
Yeah, and he was like, feel my erection. So I thought they were going to, like,
he was like, what, Jenna?
He was like, feel my erection. And I was so scared it was going to, like, get hot, and then he was going to go soft, and then it just turned into, like, this huge awkward.
It still did go awkward.
It went so awkward. Awkward, and it sucks. I mean, that's just, like, these are the awkward conversations you need to have during
sex. It became embarrassing, too, because her rejecting him was a reminder that he's still gay, and that whatever treatment that he was getting wasn't working. The fact that he had to look at the magazines, the fact that he had to flip her over, the fact that she could tell, you don't really want me, look at me. When someone doesn't make that eye-to-eye contact with you, they don't want that connection.
Eye contact is so important for good sex, too. Like, that chemistry.
Oh, yeah.
And did you see how much chemistry that Dr. Masters and Virginia had? They had so much eye contact. And if I was doing a lot of tantra study, you know, for tantra sex, and all of it is like eye contact the entire time. And it's like, most of us can only keep eye contact for a few seconds. Nobody wants to keep creepy eye contact.
I'm looking at you guys right now.
Yeah, but you can't hold it for more than a few seconds without being creepy. And so, like, they said, like, one, you know, like, an exercise would be to hold eye contact the entire time during sex without looking away. And your bond would be so intense because there's just something very intimate about looking into someone's eyes and staying locked in, you know? And so I loved how much eye contact there was. I was like, this is awesome. This is good sex.
And back to Barton real quick. One more point on him. He says when they get in that argument, he says, we have to do this. We can fix this. We just have to try harder.
Yeah.
And when you start saying, like, I'm trying, we just got to try harder, you're kind of admitting to yourself in most cases it's not going to happen. Trying harder doesn't magically make something happen. So he knows he's desperate. He knows this isn't going to work. And he's forcing it because it's so shameful for him. He has to try because he has nothing else.
Yeah.
Well, what did you think of the part where she said, this is the only, like, something in regard to self-dignity or womanhood that I have left?
Oh, my gosh.
What was that comment? Gosh.
She was like, you know, she's like, I only have a shred of, like, myself left here as a woman. You know, being in a relationship with someone that's been homosexual the whole time, like, you can't take this away from me.
I don't
know.
Maybe the homosexuality is part of it for her, but I got the feeling, I get the feeling from her, the homosexuality is something that she doesn't want to talk about or come, or whatever, but it's not as horrifyingly shameful, or she probably would have, like, never spoken to him again in the first place. It's more along the lines to me of,
she's been living a lie?
She's been living a lie.
She got gypped.
But the thing about the womanhood is, if he touches her once a year or whatever, you don't feel beautiful, you don't feel pretty, you don't feel wanted, and all those things bring down her. I mean, I'm obviously not a woman, but and the last thing she has is her own sense of physical
self-worth.
Yeah, and
you're not going to make me feel less than.
Exactly. Yeah, don't make me feel like
you're
a boy.
Right on the mark.
I'm a woman. Let me be a woman. And if you can't do that, then we can't do anything.
Yeah.
Well, that's why she was able to have the fair and, you know, feel in that moment that she was really getting satisfaction, was because for the first time somebody was pleasing her and seeing her for a woman and providing for her. I mean, she needed those orgasms. She really did.
Yeah. Originally, she just wanted to be in the sex study so she can be touched and have sex and get those orgasms.
She wanted the intimacy.
And then, that's when she met Austin and that connection happened. So, definitely, I agree.
I mean, and then that was the form of rejection right there. So, for her to find out that Austin wasn't really as into her as she, you know, they thought that we were going to elope or something, or that they were going to run away together
on
the train.
They were going to go away for that weekend.
And so, for her to find out that he wasn't really going to come, he had second thoughts. And then her husband, too, now trying to flip her over and make her a boy. I see why she would say, this is the last, you know, I have my, you know, womanhood.
Yeah. I'm not going to let it happen.
Well, then in that case, that means one rejection leads to a positive thing for her. So we'll see what that positive comes out as.
I hope something amazing happens for her because she deserves it. Okay, so then we have Jane. We have a snippet of our Jane, our delightful Jane in there, having a conversation with it. Like, it cut into so many different things.
It was all over the place.
So I'm just trying to summarize our show as we happened. But we have Jane going in as a snippet saying that she's going to go off to LA to make movies.
With Lester.
Yeah. Aww. And that she is, like, asking Virginia, like, you know, I talked to Ethan, and he said, you know, like, he's heartbroken. He doesn't understand it, but he would take you back. You should consider he has something real. And Virginia still at that point was like, nope, not going, you know? Mm-hmm. And so
she's not in love with him.
She's not. But you know what? At the end of last season, I was kind of seeing it with them. You know, like, he loved her kids. Like,
he loved her. At the end of the day, yes, during those
times. I totally forgot that he hit her.
But you have to. Oh, yeah, he did beat on her a little bit. But you have to remember, back in that era, women married for
security.
Yeah, for security. And, you know, for the economic status. And so, For Virginia to be this independent thinker and for her to go against the grain, it wouldn't even make sense for her to be with Ethan. It would make sense for her to stay and actually focus in and hone in on her work and her craft.
Which I'm glad you brought that up, especially with this scene, because with Jane, everybody piles on Virginia today, talking about her independence and her work and stuff on this calimetric thing. And it was such an interesting thing to look at how Jane's position with everybody around her kind of changed, or Virginia's position with everybody around her kind of changed, because Jane piled onto her, all the women at the hospital, her new calimetric boss, you know, Yvonne, the woman who she was trying to get and couldn't even get. And it's like, we see Virginia in season one and she's strong and she's tough and she knows what she wants and whatever. And then we see Virginia selling diet pills and you're like, oh,
yeah.
I know you. you say you're trying to make extra money, I understand that. Mm-hmm. But it's so purposely demeaning to put her in a position where not only is she not doing the study, not only is work not at what it was once before, now you got to sell these pills.
Oh, this is a very humbling experience for such a strong person. But I think that everybody goes through this in life, this like roller coaster ride where they're up and then they're down and they're up and they're down. And I think that she sees Dr. Masters as kind of like this door to this life that she wants for herself. And so although he's not in the picture right now at work, she sees her staying with the study as an opportunity to get that back, that light that she once had in her life back. That was the first time that she felt with purpose.
Yeah, no, I agree. And then, so after that, after we were like on a solid note for Ethan, we cut to Libby leaving the house to have lunch with Doug Greathouse's wife to try to get this together, to try to get Dr. Masters a job.
Real quick, how about this Doug Greathouse?
Oh my God.
Talking about German measles, and they come in his ear and he says, we're also going to deal with pertussis. What a guy. What a guy.
I mean, we're at a point where we've got Dr. Masters who has to watch the child alone for 2 hours, which I didn't think it was a big deal. But then the baby starts crying, and he's like, no, I'm just going to ignore it. I'm just going to ignore it and
turn
keep working.
The music up.
Yeah. And then he goes, and he like, it's like he approaches the room like he's going to do something, and then, nope, turns on music loud. And then that's where we kind of walk into, I mean, it was heartbreaking. I mean, I know there wasn't really a baby there, but I mean, it just kills me.
Like, you know, sometimes you say letting a baby cry and they soothe themselves.
Well,
so
yeah, I mean,
maybe that's what he was doing. He was practicing that before.
I'm definitely all about the cry out method, but like I just felt so bad for that baby. You don't know if they need, like, it's so sad to hear a baby crying.
I really like the one thing, I don't know if y'all noticed, but in that scene, they don't do a ton of crazy swooping camera shots in this show, really, and they didn't do any
the
today,
hallway?
But in that scene in the hallway, he walks up the hallway and the camera swoops all the way back in the hallway and through the room and the door.
Yeah, they had a lot of great shots.
I thought that was a really cool shot. Yeah.
Yeah, and so he's blasting music and continuing to work, and his mom walks in and totally catches him disregarding the son and him, the baby crying. And so, and they have a balls out fight. Like, this is it. I mean, they were saying, he was saying some words to her that I think are unforgivable. You know, like, I mean, he threw all of their history back into her face and was like, you know what? I'm sleeping with Virginia like regularly, and I am my dad, and I'm turning into you too. And, you know, I mean, just the worst of the worst.
And I'm sending you to Idaho.
Yeah. You go back to Ohio.
Ohio.
You know, like, and you never come back. And it's like, how, as a mother, do you even try to make sense
of that? I don't feel
bad
for her, though. Honestly,
really?
I really don't. I feel like she put herself in that position of being such a terrible mother to Masters that I don't
but
feel anything
But he's not a child anymore, though. You can't keep punishing somebody for something that happened 18 years ago. And so she's a different person today than she was back then. And now she's trying to be a
so
good parent.
Hard.
She's trying to be a great grandparent.
All she did was, like, keep a blind eye to, like, him getting spanked.
But he's still never, she still
that's,
hasn't supported
I'm
him,
like,
though.
That's all
we think that it's spanked, but it could have been molestation. I mean, there could have been more to it. We're assuming that it's just child abuse. But at the same time, she still is being a good person now, though. Like, the character that she's displaying now is a good grandmother. She's helping his wife care for the child that he's not caring for.
And I feel like if you're going to, you're right. I take that back. That is huge that she, you know, what she did was terribly wrong. But I feel like don't let her back in and keep her as a punching bag. Just keep her out forever.
Well,
that's
exactly
what I say.
The point.
I just
that's
say,
exactly.
keep, like, it's black and white to me. Like, I don't forgive you. You don't get to come in my life. And, like, not like, I don't forgive you and you can come here and I'll just punch you in the face with words.
Well, in the
know.
First season, he was trying to get rid of her. And she just wasn't leaving because he was kind of like, meh. And then now he's finally got a backbone and standing up for himself and saying, you need to leave. You need to go. Like,
but is it a backbone or is it just him running from love? I mean, because at the end of the day, it's not right what he's doing. He's not honoring his mother and father as he should be. And he's being very disrespectful. And he's also being unkind. And not just to her, to someone who he is supposed to be kind to, his own child. So it's not necessarily a problem with her that he has. It's towards anybody who he should be loving.
I feel like he is so confused. And he just needs a mommy.
But he's rejecting his mom.
I know.
He's rejecting his
everything. I think that he's in a... I feel sad for him. I mean, if you think about his life, he has no job right now. He's married to someone he has no connection to. The person he does, he has, like, issues expressing how he truly feels. he's not getting exactly what he wants out of there. Like, he's just all over the place right now. Like, this is midlife crisis time. A moment of silence.
I'm surprised
for
Bill Masters. Get a Corvette. Well, and the hard part, I think, most for him is not being able to do his work, because that is usually what eliminates all these other distractions with the family and the love and the kid. So the fact that he doesn't even have that makes him feel incomplete as a person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was an intense little fight they had. And I thought it was just going to be one of their regular spats. But then to find out when Libby gets home that she's never coming back and that she should get hired help for, like, the next day, it was just like...
That was a real interesting little scene with him and Libby, because he says to her, she's never coming back. That's the last we'll speak of it. Get hired help. They'll start tomorrow. See ya. You know, yeah. There wasn't a discussion. There wasn't a debate. This was just, this is the way it is. So talk about growing a backbone.
Yeah.
Right or not, that's growing a backbone. And correct or not to do it, you probably want to involve your wife a little bit more in these decisions.
I know. I feel so bad. Like, what is Libby thinking at this moment? He is so, like, I mean, if I'm married to somebody, they are not letting me in at all emotionally on what's going on. They aren't being paternal to our child, like, pretty much ignoring our baby. And just completely takes me out of every conversation, just tells me how it is. I mean, I feel so bad. It makes me think maybe we'll have, like, that dancer guy, that house helper. What was his name?
I don't remember.
Maybe he'll be back.
But if you remember last season, she had an opportunity to leave the relationship. She went away for a retreat.
I know.
She made up, like, another life. She could have left him if she really wanted to.
She's,
I mean, not that
scared.
That was the norm back then, but she had an opportunity to not come back to him, and she decided to stay in her marriage.
Which kind of brings me up, though, to the point, you know, when she was getting the baby checked out, and the doctor was talking to her about how Bill Masters is kind of like a psychopath who was married. The psychopath was married to someone that lady had no idea what he was doing.
Mm-hmm. Albert Fish.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if maybe this is kind of foreshadowing to Libby, being like, Masters is having an affair. You don't really know what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not killing people, but
he's sleeping with his...
Exactly. So will she ever figure that out?
Let's talk about the title of the episode, Parallax, in the relationship with these relationships. Because you have Libby in one point of view and Virginia in the other. And they're both looking at Bill. And Libby looks at Bill and sees more of a dominant husband who doesn't have an emotional relationship with her. But Libby might see something like, hey, financial stability, mm-hmm. relative, you know, family calm. We have a baby. We have a house, whatever. And she sees him from that point of view. Virginia has him passionately in a way Libby does not. Mm-hmm. But Virginia looks at him and sees work. So talk parallax with those two. They're looking at the same guy with totally different needs. Now, the question is, the guy is not an inanimate object. He's a human. So how does he see the two of them? But mm-hmm. for those two, they're looking at the same guy with different needs. And I think Libby's perspective on him, not that she's the quintessential, you know, 50s housewife, whatever, mm-hmm. but it's a little bit of that line where she kind of says, go along to get along. I'm just going to bite my tongue. If he says it's the way it is with his mom, it is the way it is with his mom, because there are other things I'm more concerned with.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And then we have, like, you know, there's, you know, with Libby, you know, and her, I don't know, my heart just feels so sad for her.
Like, she's stronger so far in this episode. I felt like she was a lot more taking initiative of getting things
gorgeous,
done.
Gorgeous, by the way. She looked amazing.
For just having a baby, too.
Yeah.
She took those little pills to get a little better.
I know. And then, but we see, I'm very interested. I mean, they started this season off very strong, and I'm very curious to see how this plays off, because we see, you know, Dr. Masters leave the house and go for a run and just gun it as fast as he can go.
I didn't even know he worked out.
I don't think he did, obviously. Did you see him hanging over? He was, like, about to die. It's like me every time I run.
I was going to say, and that's exactly how I am, too.
And so, you know, I think that we're seeing, like, the struggle is real. You know, like, he is, like, conflicted. He does not know what's going on. And so, I mean, he sent his mom home, and then it cuts to Barton and Margaret again. You know, it cuts to Vivian coming home, and, you know, she comes home right in the middle of, like, chaos. You know, like...
Which, did you find it interesting that they brought Vivian back, but they didn't bring Ethan really back?
We had Ethan
on the phone, but Vivian, who's going to be out of the relationship, I thought she was done. Like, her storyline was done, but it's kind of nice that she's back.
She's still a pretty important piece, right? She's their kid.
Their connection,
you know?
For Barton and Margaret, yeah.
Well, they had to find her. I think that that was why they had to bring her back.
Yeah.
Well, here's
my question. With knowing what happened to Barton in that basement, you guys, and I know it's easy to talk about it afterwards because we know what happens, but before we saw Barton
for those who haven't seen the episode yet.
Before, yeah, spoiler alert. Before we saw Barton hanging himself, Was I the only one who knew that something was horribly wrong? Because they make the thud, and immediately, the way Margaret acted, she was like...
I thought someone had, like, come in.
I thought they had,
too. Yeah. I thought that he had was getting, like, a BJ in the basement or something. Like, I was like, I thought, like, somebody, like, there was a crazy sexual act going on down there.
It was not to criticize, obviously, the actress, but Margaret was a little too urgent in the first thud. The thud hit, and Margaret was immediately like, it's the basement window. Lock the basement window. And I'm kind of like,
yeah,
what's
I wasn't
the urgency?
Weirded out by why they were scared of that.
I thought it was either like a robbery or like a BJ. I wasn't sure.
I don't know which one.
But either way, why was it important for them to go right away?
Yeah, and send
which
Vivian
is a good
there.
Thing.
If it is a robbery, why not Vivian go take care of it?
You're young. You can handle it.
I know. I was like, oh my gosh, she's going to go down there and get killed. Or walk in on her dad. I thought she was going to walk in on her dad getting a BJ. But I'm like, Barton's never taken it home, so that didn't make any sense. But that was just like my first.
So you guys were shocked to see him attempt to kill himself?
Not really.
Yeah, I wasn't shocked that he did try and kill himself. Mm-hmm. I was just shocked that Vivian had to come to find that. And I was like, holy crap, like, I can only imagine what that would be like to come across that.
That would be terrible.
And she doesn't know what's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah, so they run downstairs and they see that. And it's like, A, you shouldn't do that when people are home and someone might hear you. B, your poor family has to walk in on that. You know, like, how are things going to be? Things are never going to be normal after that.
Well, but if you're committing that act, do you care if things are normal after that? Your thought
he's
is
trying to take
it's
going to
be over.
Yeah, it's going to be over. I guess as a doctor, couldn't he, like, have injected himself with something? Like, couldn't he have found a foolproof way?
I think it's a conscious decision by the writers, though, to do this, obviously, because it shows his vulnerability to the two of them. It forces them to find him, of course, mm-hmm. so he can't go through mm-hmm. with it. And it shows just how, I'm sorry for the bad pun, how he is at the end of his rope.
Yeah.
You know?
Like,
literally.
But I'm
Bobby.
But no, how he's at the end of his rope, and we've seen, and he tried to have sex with Margaret the night before, whenever this was, temporally. She turned him down.
Well, imagine how she's feeling now.
It.
She's yeah. like, oh my damn, goodness. I should have just gave him the booty.
I should have just let him thought I was a boy.
She's probably killing herself. But that's why you see, and one thing that I do appreciate about her in the relationship is that no matter maybe the shame that he has brought her life and her womanhood, she still protects him till this day. She does not treat him any less than with less respect. She defends herself and won't tolerate his disrespect, but she, at the end of the day, still has a respect for him and a love for him and still protects him even when Bill comes over to, I guess, report to him that he's taking a new job. She still has this sense of protection.
I've got to keep the nest safe.
I need to protect my family.
Yeah. Although I think it would have helped to see Bill, but
I don't know. Was it that night?
I'm just wondering, since we don't have like a sense of time. I was wondering if it had been a couple days, because Bill said he couldn't get a hold of him for a couple days.
Might have been a couple days.
It has
later,
been a few
yeah.
days. I think she was trying to maybe nurse him back to health. He probably lost a lot of oxygen.
Maybe had rope.
Well, it affects your vocal cords too. If you're mm-hmm. hanging on there for however long it was, it could have affected his vocal cords. So then that could have, and then the marking. He probably had a marking on there too. He's mm-hmm. a heavy guy, so all that weight down. No, I'm just saying, like,
no,
you
but
know,
she, yeah,
pressure.
You're right. She doesn't want to, one, expose his homosexuality, so she's protecting him from mm-hmm. that, and two, now he's killing himself. That's another embarrassing factor right there, and he wasn't even successful at it. So, you know, that's two things that for him to be ashamed of. So I think that she did right by not letting Bill see him.
It's interesting that they would have a male character attempt to hang himself, though.
Why is that?
Because of the time period?
Statistically, far more women than men attempt suicide by hanging.
Oh, really? I know men usually use a gun.
Yeah, it's weird that they would have him hang himself. And I don't know if it was just because it was something in the house that they mm-hmm. could do and they could whatever, or if there was a conscious decision to maybe feminize him a little bit because of his sexual background, and this is a way he chose to commit suicide. I don't know. I mean, I'm probably way off about that, but I don't know why they chose hanging.
But they say that women usually don't. I don't know that women usually use that, because I read a study that said that women usually commit suicide by overdosing or pills or something that's like
least
harmful.
But they use it more than men.
Oh, they use hanging more than men. Yeah. Okay, because men usually go out with like a bang, with like hanging or with like a real bang. But I didn't know that women actually use that too.
Well, I got a question for you guys. Do you think maybe he hung himself? Because he obviously knew when they left for the mall, and he waited until they got back to do the hanging. Do you think he might be doing the hanging just so he can get their support on electric shock therapy?
I think he was ready to die with the...
I think he was
legit ready.
I think he was
very small second intention that if they find me, at least they'll know. Like, I kind of maybe 1% want them to find me, but I'm 99% ready to go.
Yeah, okay. I think he was 99%.
I think he was on his end when he was pleading to Margaret, like, what else can I do? You know, I'm trying here. Work with me. I think he was on his last straw right then.
Yeah.
I was just curious.
But somebody who might want to consider hanging themselves is Austin. Okay, now he is a little whore.
Nice transition, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my gosh.
If he doesn't do it, his wife is going to do it, okay? Oh, she storms through the hospital.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, we couldn't get enough action. This episode was, like, minute-packed every single, you know, minute. We get Austin's wife coming in, who we've kind of figured was a saint and just kind of accepted him for his dirty dog ways.
Nope.
And then she comes in, balls ablaze, and looking for him. He's, like, sliding through, like, an office, like, lowering down behind the desk, like, nobody find me here. And then his wife gets on the intercom and says and reveals the whole thing about what he's done, you know, and says, you know, he's, you know, gone to an all-time low, slept with my sister-in-law, or was it his sister?
His sister-in-law, so it's her little sister.
Her little sister, Rosemary, was it?
Rosie, yeah, little Rosie.
Oh, my gosh.
But did you guys not think that she was going to announce that he'd been participating in the studies with Dr. Masters? I thought she was going to blow up the spot that
no, I thought she was going to actually blow a bigger whistle, like he got someone else pregnant.
Yeah. I don't think she knew about the studies exactly.
But that's why I thought that maybe she had found out about the studies, and that's what she was going to announce on the intercom and put everybody at jeopardy.
But either way, I love how she did it in front of the children. That's another incident that was done in front of kids instead of like, hey, let's just leave them out of it.
She takes them with them. Yeah. She's like parading through with the baby.
Yeah.
But good for her. So what finally broke the camel's back is him riding her sister. Him doing her sister.
Seriously. Yeah. Well, this whole episode, it's everybody just kind of standing up for themselves, you know? And so then we kind of cut to Bill and Libby at dinner with Doug. Was it Clearhouse?
Great House.
And they're having dinner, and they're announcing their partnership and that they're going to take Dr. Masters on at Memorial Hospital, that they've got his study. And Libby is, like, ultra curious to see if Virginia is going to be working with him. And to which he didn't directly respond to, but he said that I'm sure she's eager to, you know,
start working again
and stuff. And so...
I think that Libby's catching on, though. I mean, I don't know if she knows or if she just, if the writers just want us to think that she's finally figuring it out, but there's always little hints or glimpses of her possibly knowing there's a relationship or affair going on.
I feel like she's very similar to Master's mother in the sense of she knows it's going, but she's going to pretend it's not. Everything's fine, just as long, like what Bobby was saying about that perfect little point perfect, of view of... Mm-hmm. Right. Masters, I think she knows.
Remember the scene, though, with the calimetric earlier when Libby comes into the hospital cafeteria and is hanging out with Virginia kind of as a friend and kind of as a venting board or whatever. So on some level, even though Libby may or may not know a little bit of what's going on with Bill, she also likes Virginia. And so she's kind of interested.
Yeah, there's definitely a friendship
there.
Yeah,
there's a friend who may be coming to work on this study,
well,
too. So maybe that innocent.
If what would you do if you were married to my husband? How would you handle this situation?
Because she sees that they have that connection. Mm-hmm. She's like, you understand him better. You can. It would be terrible to not have an emotional connection with your husband, but then see that someone else kind of gets him and can get into...
That's his work wife.
You know?
So she turned to the work wife to figure out how she should handle him. And I think that she's actually going about the advice that Virginia had given her. Do you make sure you take care of your baby? And then we start to see Libby actually, you know, going out and trying to help her husband get his work back.
Mm-hmm. And then we finally get answers, right? Like at the end of the episode, we finally kind of get the fill in the blanks of the last, you know, comments of the... Because in the midst of the episode, we get, you know, Virginia's going to a hotel rooms, you know, asking for Dr. Holden. We're not really understanding what that is. At the end, we finally see her there with Dr. Masters, and it's the conversation they have right after. It looks like the next day after they had slept together and had that emotional night, he was like, you know, I want to clear that up, and I want to apologize for just coming to your house. And, I mean, it felt like he wanted to say, you know, there is something more there. And Virginia was like, well, yeah, of course. I'm never going to say, I'm not going to choose love over work, you know. She's like, explaining her stance on Ian. And then Dr. Master, something hits to him like, oh, she doesn't love me. That she's just wanting the work. Like, I have real feelings for her. He was like, he even went one half Bill Masters step forward and said, I think that was something more, you know. And You know, and so I felt heartbroken after that moment, because it was like I felt like they were both not saying something that they really wanted to, because then it just went straight to, we have our work, and that's so much more important, and we're going to have this sex, but it's not going to mean anything. Our work is what means something. Mm-hmm. And it's just like this weird dynamic you don't see. And so,
which is interesting if you think about this whole episode, all the men, their egos were hurt by women.
Yeah.
Barton's was Imagine when he was that. Fine, you know.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, can we mention the black eye?
Oh, yeah.
Dr. DePaul. I don't know.
Where did we get the black eye from? I mean, they didn't really explain. They kind of left us hanging. Was it a man? Was it her bumping into a wall? Was she just clumsy because she's an alcoholic?
I think she might be an alcoholic. I have no idea.
She's trying to soothe the pain from the disease that she's... Yeah.
From dying?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sounds like you got yourself a prediction coming up.
No. Real quick, Bobby, did you have any news?
Oh. Yes, we do. TV News. Two pieces of news, nothing groundbreaking, but two future guest stars, future appearances here on Masters of Sex this season. The first one, Marin Ireland, who is in Homeland, is going to be a recurring star on the second season of Showtime's Masters of Sex. She will play Pauline, the wife of Frank. I think we've seen Frank before.
Okay.
They're going to come to town seeking Master's help and conceiving a child in season two. And Ireland, I should say, is also going to be on The Divide on WeTV, set to premiere on July 16th. Mm-hmm. So if any of you guys watch The Divide, there you go. The other one, this is a little bit bigger. Jay Ellis, who of course has been on The Game on BET for the last couple years, he will play Dr. Cyril Franklin here in the second season. He talked to Miami Herald about it, and he said that when he was asked to audition, he did it in a heartbeat. He said he gets like an hour off every week, and that hour was spent watching Masters of Sex.
Oh, wow.
He's like, I watched every episode of the first season. I wanted to do it so bad. Michael Sheen and Lizzie Kaplan are amazing, you know, all that stuff. He said, quote, when they asked him to take the part, he said, without seeing a script, he said, quote, I didn't really even need to read over the material because I would have said yes no matter what they had me do.
Oh, we're going to have to tweet at him about the AfterBuzz TV recap for Masters of Sex.
Yeah, let's have him come on. Also, he will start, Jay Ellis will start production of The Game again in September. He's also filming November Rule, executive produced by Queen Latifah, and he is producing a film called Lemonade himself that stars Marissa Tomei. So that's a busy guy.
Oh, nice.
But we will see him on Masters of Sex as Dr. Cyril Franklin. He did say it's going to be interesting to have a black doctor and the relationship with how a black doctor works in a hospital
especially in that time period.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, since we're light on time, we're going to do predictions anyway. I'm just going to go. There's so much going on this season. Does anybody even know where to start with predictions?
I've got a really simple one. I'll make it simple. It probably won't happen, but I'm going to say it anyways.
Okay.
With Barton's suicide, with the suicide attempt, with the failed sex, I think him and Margaret are done because all the dignity and the respect is now gone, and they have to finish.
Oh, yeah.
Agree.
I'm going to piggyback on that, but I don't think they're going to separate. I think they're going to still stay friends. Like, they're going to be married just
they're
because of the whole image
tennis.
Thing. Yes.
Okay, and she's going to have sex with other people.
Spice. Yes, okay. Open marriage.
I am nervous, and I unfortunately think this is my prediction. I don't want it to be, but I think that Ethan is gone. I don't think that we're going to see him again, unfortunately, because he's not with Virginia anymore. But I think that Virginia is not going to stop having sex with somebody else. I think they're going to introduce maybe another character. Maybe Jay Ellis is going to be a love interest for her, but she's never just going to be a one-man woman. So I think we're going to see another affair come about.
Yeah, and I unfortunately think we're going to see a lot more turmoil before we see something really positive happen between Dr. Masters and Virginia. So, we'll see you next week. Thank you, everybody, so much. Roya, where can they find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Hey Roya. That's HeyRoya.
Bobby. Twitter at Bobby DeMuro. Instagram at Mr. Bobby DeMuro.
My favorite spice.
You guys can play with my Instagram you can play with my Instagram. No, you can stroke my Instagram or play with my Twitter at Spicy_Mari, SPICY_MARI.
And I'm at Jenna Time Tweets. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals. Yeah.